Now we're turning tonight to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, I said this morning, I want us to look at the forgotten commandment. When you think of the giving of the Ten Commandments and Mount Sinai, there is one commandment in relation to the giving of the Ten that is the most neglected, the most forgotten commandment. And I said this morning that as soon as you would begin to think what one it would be, I would guarantee that that's not the commandment that I'm speaking about tonight. I wonder, have you thought through the Ten Commandments this afternoon? I wonder, have you got a commandment in your mind when we look at Exodus chapter 20 and the giving of the commandments? I wonder, is there one that comes to your mind? Well, let's see what the Lord has to say to us tonight. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up my steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Amen. And we know God will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Father, set thy seal upon thy word, and bless it to each and every heart, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The giving of the Ten Commandments was attended with august majesty and with fearful awe. The top of Mount Sinai was as a burning furnace, whilst the entire mount shook at the very presence of God that was manifested there. God spake all these words. God spake all these words. And the people heard the voice of God. If you look there at verse 22, the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. God spoke from the top of Mount Sinai, and all the people who were gathered in the plain below heard the audible voice of God as he gave the commandments. And therein they knew that the law was not of human origin. It originated with God. The law was divine, and the people knew it. God had spoken to them, and so powerful and so dreadful was the voice of God that they requested Moses to act as their mediator, lest they would die at the very sound of the voice of God. Speak thou with God. Now speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. They wanted Moses to be the mediator, to stand between them and God, to speak to God on their behalf and then to speak to them on behalf of God. So dreadful, so august, so majestic was the voice of God that the people trembled. And they recognized their need of a mediator. The giving of the law was a unique occasion. It was also a very necessary occasion. The law revealed God's standard of living for mankind. It was and it remains the reflection of the holiness of God, setting before the world the duty that God requires of us, first to himself, and then to our fellow man. It is this law that will determine our eternity. If the law finds fault in us, if the law finds transgression in us, then we will be sentenced to everlasting punishment. But if the law finds no fault in us, then we shall enter into everlasting joy and everlasting blessing. It is this law that will determine our eternal destiny. It was this law that was first transcribed upon the mind and the heart of man at creation. God furnished Adam with a complete knowledge of his will and a complete knowledge of his law and gave him an inclination of heart towards the law of God. But the fall of man into willful rebellion against God brought a corruption of man's conscience. And with the passing of time, the knowledge of God's law became corroded and erased. And therefore it became necessary for God to give the law at Mount Sinai, to give it in written form. And that written form remains with us intact to this very day. Think about that. 3,500 years ago, the people heard the audible voice of God and they trembled as God gave the law. And the law still stands tonight. It has not changed. But whilst the law has not changed, man's understanding of it has changed, especially regarding the purpose of the written law. Since the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, men of various backgrounds have approached these two tables of the law, and they have interpreted them to be the way by which they must approach unto God. This was the charge that Paul led against many of his fellow countrymen. He said that they had gone about to establish their own righteousness by their own effort and their own endeavor to keep the law of God. They thought that they could only approach God upon their effort to keep the law, to abide by the commandments. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Christ asking what he had to do to inherit eternal life? And he made his boast of how from his youth up he had kept all the commandments. He was trying to gain eternal life by his observance of the law of God given at Mount Sinai. But God did not intend the commandments to be the way of salvation or the way of reconciliation. And to demonstrate that, to reinforce that truth, he set in place a further commandment, which I am describing tonight as the most neglected and the most forgotten commandment. You will find it in verse 24 of this chapter. God is speaking, and he says to the people through Moses, "An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." It is no coincidence tonight that such a command is given at this particular juncture. Here we have the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, and immediately after that, the very next word that God speaks to Israel regards the setting up of this altar. We must not forget that. Because everyone and anyone who thinks that they can approach to God on the basis of their observance of the law have failed to recognize the commandment that came after the giving of the Ten. There is a vital truth to be found in this neglected and forgotten commandment. I want you to notice first of all that God highlights here the requirement of the altar. Now this verse 24 follows in the same vein of authoritative commands. Did you notice that? All the way through the giving of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. These are commands that carry authority. And the very same language is employed in verse 24. "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings." This is a command. It carries the authority of God. The people were commanded to make an altar and to offer a sacrifice upon it. Now, it was not a new command, nor was it a new practice. You remember that Abel, we're told in the book of Genesis, offered a sacrifice unto God from the firstlings of the flock. And Abraham, when he came into the land of Canaan, which God had promised to him, the first thing that he did was to build an altar and to offer a sacrifice. And Isaac his son and Jacob his grandson did exactly the same thing. This was not a new command, nor was it a new practice. God was simply reminding them of what he had required from the time of Adam's transgression. This was based on the pattern that God himself had given. When Adam sinned and tried to cover his nakedness with the fig leaves that they sewed together, God took of the animals that he had created and he slew the animal in sacrifice. And with the coats of skin he covered Adam. And thereby God was teaching by example that the only way that men could approach to him in their fallen sinful condition was by way and means of the sacrifice. You see, the inclusion at this point was to remind the people that in light and in view of the law now given at Sinai, they still needed a sacrifice to approach unto God. The law was not given to them as the means of approach unto God. The law was not given to them as the ground upon which they could obtain God's favor. They must not think that their effort to keep the law, no matter how sincere it
would make them acceptable to God. They could only come by the way of the altar. We must not miss this command. As soon as God has set in place the Ten Commandments, setting out our duty to Himself and our fellow man, immediately there is this commandment, thou shalt make an altar of earth unto me and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. In this altar God was teaching them that they could only come by the way of the altar, by the way of death and bloodshedding. Teaching them the great truth of atonement, the great truth of substitution. Another must die if the sinner is to live. Another must die if the sinner is to be reconciled to God. Justice must be satisfied if the sinner is to be pardoned, forgiven of all his transgressions. Mere law keeping could not and would not avail. They had sinned. They had transgressed the law. And their sin could not be atoned for by their future keeping of the law. And yet that's the very thing that people are thinking tonight in many parts of the world. They think that they can atone for their past sins by their present and future keeping of the law. And God is teaching here that cannot be and it never will be. There must be an atonement. The law says the soul that sinneth must die. The punishment must be carried out. Death must be executed if there is to be reconciliation. God is now teaching the people, foreshadowing and typifying the work that His Son would come to do in the fullness of time. The animal sacrifices had no merit in themselves. The merit lay in the one whom they typified. When they took the burnt offering, when they brought either the bullock or the lamb or the turtle dove or the pigeon, and it was laid on this altar and slain, and then the fire kindled. It was all pointing forward to Christ and the work that He would accomplish in the fullness of time. These sacrifices were teaching the Israelites of a promised Savior. One who, when He would come in the flesh, would give Himself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty of our sins and to set us free from the curse of the law and reconcile us to God. This altar was teaching that only by death could we have life. Only by death could we have life. Only by the death of God's dear Son upon the cross could we have life forevermore. The requirement of this altar. But then notice secondly the reconciliation of this altar. Notice what God says in the latter part of verse 24. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Now, what he means is here that the place where the altar would be set up and the sacrifice offered and the people would come to worship God, God is saying that in that place I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Here's the thought of reconciliation. Did you notice when the law was given in verse 18 and this terrible sight was beheld by all the people when they saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking? When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. You see, man in his sin is separated from God and he's under the curse of the law. But God is saying here, God is saying that there will be a place where He will come on to sinners, where He will be reconciled to sinners, and instead of the curse, there will be the blessing. You see, the law, the broken law brought the curse, brought judgment, it brought condemnation. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The world tonight has no answer or no reason for death. When a person dies, the world inquires after the cause of death, and what they mean is, what is the physical cause of death? It's only the Bible that gives us that answer. And the Bible tells us that death came because of man's sin. By one man's sin and disobedience, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Death is the infliction of justice. It's the penalty of a broken law. But look at what this text says. God spoke these words. And he said that where the altar was, and where the sacrifice was offered, where death had been inflicted, there he would come and he would bless the people. Do you see there's a great reversal here? But that blessing only comes when the law is carried out and satisfied, when death has taken place. Only when the animal was slain, when death had taken place, did God say he would come and reverse the curse and bring the blessing. The Lord again was teaching by means of type. This altar is a picture of Calvary. It's a picture of the cross. In all the different places where the Israelites journeyed through that wilderness, they set up the altar. And every time they set up the altar, God was giving them a little preview of the hill called Calvary. And he was teaching them that one must die in their place, on account of their sin. But when he would die, and death would be executed, when the sentence of the law would be carried out, then the curse would be turned into the blessing. The curse would be reversed. And reconciliation, and pardon, and peace, and everlasting life would be bestowed upon the sinner. The blessing of God's salvation and every other blessing is imparted to us only on the basis of Christ's atoning sacrifice. And that blessing is only received when we individually and personally trust Christ and the work that he has accomplished at the cross. I want you to notice the change in the personal pronoun here. This is the great advantage of the Authorized Version. Look at verse 22. The Lord said unto Moses, thus thou, that's singular, stop talking only to Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye, that's plural. Ye have seen that I have talked with you, plural, from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. It's all plural. But when you come to verse 24, it switches to the singular. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, singular, and I will bless thee. Do you see what God is saying? God is saying here that the blessing of salvation would come through the death of Christ, but only when there was a personal and an individual receiving and resting upon that work by the individual. It is only when an individual sinner comes to Christ personally and receives Christ individually and rests on the merit of his shed blood, then the curse is removed and the blessing is bestowed. The reconciliation of this altar. There I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Let me ask you tonight, are you living in this blessing? We were singing that and I emphasize it again. I'm so glad I've entered in. Have you entered into this blessing tonight? This blessing of salvation? the blessing of reconciliation, peace with God, life forevermore, all on account of the death of Jesus Christ. He died for me. When I personally rest upon His work, then God is reconciled to me, and He says, I will bless thee. This is a personal salvation. Oh, it's a message that is preached to every creature. But it's a personal salvation, and a salvation received by trusting Christ and His atoning work upon the cross. The requirement, the reconciliation, but notice finally the restriction of this altar. We cannot conclude without recognizing the particular restriction that God placed upon the making of this altar. Look at verse 25. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps onto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. The altar was to be made of earth, but if it were to be made of stone, God says that it was not to be made of hewn stone. By that He means it's not to be shaped or stone that has been crafted by the hand of man. For He says, the moment that you've lifted up your tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Thou hast polluted it. I think the message is evident. God is teaching us the atoning work of Christ is all we need. His sacrifice is sufficient. It requires no addition of man. It requires no human effort or craft. We do not come to God resting partly upon Christ's work and then, in addition, something that we have done or something that we do. No, 1,000 times no. We must renounce all confidence in self, all confidence in human works. We must rest completely upon the finished work of Christ. I cannot add to anything Christ has done. What He has done is enough. What He has done is enough. And it's enough for God. And it's enough for the law. Remember what God said to the Israelites a little prior to this? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's all that's needed. When I see the blood, when I see the evidence of death, that one has died in your place, and you by faith have rested in His work, then I will pass over you. We do not need to add anything to what Christ has done. We must not and we dare not. Salvation rests upon the merit of Christ's righteousness and His blood alone. And here we must simply rest by faith. It is not to be of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now let me ask you tonight, are you resting alone upon Christ? Are you trusting alone upon His death at the cross? Can you say tonight, I have no confidence in the flesh. I place no weight, I place no hope, I place no trust in anything in me or anything that I have done. I'm trusting completely to what Christ has done at the cross. His blood is enough. His death is sufficient. God is well pleased with the merit and with the sacrifice of His Son. And if God is pleased, then that's enough for me. Don't lift up your tool upon this altar, because you'll only pollute it. And the thought there is not that you can detract from Christ's work, but the thought is that you will only bring judgment to yourself, because you're resting upon a false hope and a false foundation. Rest alone upon Jesus Christ.
the most neglected, forgotten commandment in light of the giving of the Ten Commandments. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it so instructive and so informative that the very first thing that God said after He gave the Ten Commandments was, "An altar of earth shalt thou make me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereupon." God is saying the only way to Him is by the cross. There was a wee boy walking the streets of London many years ago. He had got lost. And he met a policeman and he told him where he was going. And the policeman said, "That's simple. There's a church down the road there," and he gave him directions, and he says, "It's the one with the cross. And if you get there, you'll get your way home." And you know, tonight, the way home is by the cross. It's by the sacrifice of Christ. It's by His death, the way to heaven, the way to God, the way to forgiveness, the way to peace, the way to life everlasting. It's by the cross, by the death of Christ, the altar, the sacrifice, the shed blood. And if you will come tonight as a sinner and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I broke Your law. I'm under the curse. The sentence of death is in me. But I believe Your Son died for me. Accept me on account of what He has done. Cleanse me in His precious blood." God's covenant promise is that He will forgive your sin. And He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And He says, "I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." The blessing is only found at the cross. At the cross. It's the way of the cross that leads home.